Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich of Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. First on the docket, Lori Vallow bond hearing. That's right. And our dumb criminal contestant of the day, and our contestants for the winner of the week. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich with Crime Talk, and thank you for watching. Please hit that little subscribe button if you haven't already done so. Hit that little bell so you receive notifications. And as always, leave us a comment below. Do you think the judge made the right decision in the Lori Vallow case? Because that's the first thing on the docket today. Lori Vallow had another bond reduction hearing. It's her second one in Idaho, third if you count the one in Hawaii. The proceedings took place today before Magistrate Judge Michelle Mallard. Now, this hearing went 2.5 hours, all right? 2.5 hours of my life that I will never get back. This hearing should have taken 15 minutes. I get the fact the judge wants to make sure it's a fair process. It's a case that's being publicized. Everyone wants their 15 minutes of fame, whatever. However, the simple facts are, and the judge ultimately found, that there were no circumstances that rose to the level that would require a bond reduction. Lori Vallow already received a bond reduction of from $5 million to $1 million. And as a general rule, the court needs to consider on a new hearing for a bond reduction, which is simply, is there changed circumstances other than the passage of time, i.e. my client's been in jail for a while? Is the individual, if you get past that first hurdle, is she a danger to the community and is she a flight risk? Now, the judge didn't even really consider any of that. She basically said there's not really a change in circumstance here. She apparently, in the motions, and she regarded it as she wasn't asked to review the prior judge's decision, just that he wanted her bond reduced because of a couple of allegations. One, he alleged that his telephone conversations in the public visiting room at the county jail were being recorded. Now, he got all fired up. Mr. Means did, because the prosecutor in this case submitted a couple of affidavits, and those affidavits came from Lieutenant James Wilmore and Lieutenant Ron Ball. And basically what they said is that, hey, we're dealing with the COVID-19. She's not being treated, she being Lori Vallow, is not being treated any differently than anyone else in this facility. And there's a warning that these calls have been monitored, but that the attorney can basically, we can turn off any recordings, and that there was no basis to say that the jail was somehow involved in the surreptitious taping of attorney-client calls. Judge Mallard said that she takes that matter very seriously, but that's not really a fact that she has to consider or needs to consider at a bond reduction hearing. I think I mentioned this last week. If that was the allegation, what does that have to do with going to the jail? Mr. Means acts like it's the worst thing possible that he has to go to a jail. I have prepared with clients in custody. We're literally sitting in a room the size of a small broom closet with glass. You cannot pass documents. And my client is shackled on the other side, and you find a way to prepare. Some people have said, hey, it's a small town. Mr. Means wouldn't advertise. What he advertises is that he does personal injury and he does some family law, some mediation. It's clear, and I think it became very clear after watching 2 hours of her, I would say a lack of better term, rambling, an attorney that didn't even know that it's the Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution, which is the right to effective assistance of counsel. He thought it was maybe Article 6. Not going well. He looked confused. He looked unprepared. He was complaining that the district attorney filed the response with the affidavits just the day before. He didn't have time to investigate. Guess what? Normally, the prosecution doesn't file responses. If they file a response, that's great. But if they don't do it, because why? Judges don't necessarily require it. In federal court, everything has to be in writing. I love federal court for that. State court, the DAs would never have any time to get anything done if they had to respond to every motion. You show up, you're prepared, and you go. That's the difference between what I've said before. Anybody can be an attorney. Anybody can be a litigator, but it takes someone that can think on their feet rather rapidly to be a trial attorney. And a real trial attorney would have said, ah, bring your stuff on. Let's call these witnesses to the stand. I want more than their affidavit. Let's go. But he whined about, I didn't know. I didn't have enough time to investigate it. Oh, my God. Now, you could see Lori Vallow as she sat there with her gray roots becoming exposed in her orange and white jail suit and her little pink shoes and her blue mask. You could see it in her eyes. She knew she wasn't going anywhere and that she has someone as her counsel that is completely in over his head. Mr. Means also stated that he is now representing, on the record, Chad Daybell. Okay? How is that not a conflict? Okay, lots of conflicts can be waived, but I'm not sure that this is the one that this guy wants to go down on. This was a train wreck. This attorney, Mr. Means, looked like an intern. He looked like an intern arguing for a bond reduction case. Most bond reduction hearings take between 5 and 15 minutes. At most, I get the judge wanted him to make a record, make sure preserved. She could have cut this way down and simply ruled there's no changed circumstances. Your appropriate remedy is that if you believe calls are being made, that sanctions should be made, but it is not a basis for a bond reduction. This is criminal law 101. Hey, I get it. Maybe he's just being creative, or maybe he just didn't know. But at the very end, the judge said, maybe you want to talk to some of the local practitioners, communicate how things are going to work at the jail. It's the nature of the business, okay? Absolute waste of 2.5 hours of everyone's time. And my gut feeling is that Mr. Means will be off this case shortly. Now, he wanted to have the court reduce Vallow's bond from the $1 million to between $150,000, and it creeped up to about $250,000 at one point. So that, to use his words, that she would have some skin in the game. Basically, times are hard between the COVID, unemployment, that $1 million was just too high. But as the court stated, Mr. Means did not ask the court to review the previous judge's decision, basically just made the argument there was changed circumstances. The judge blew that out. The fact that she let this go on for 2.5 hours was a little surprising. Most judges would wrap this up, but I get it. Everybody is trying to make sure the record is protected for appellate purposes, and the judge seemed to take not only Ms. Vallow's, but every defendant's rights under the Constitution, and said that they were not being violated. And even if they were, the appropriate remedy is not a bond reduction. I called it. We'll see if Mr. Means remains on the case much longer. My guess is she's going to have the public defender within 30 to 60 days. Why do you say that? Because Mr. Means kept referencing lack of resources, the expenditure of resources. It's expensive for him to drive to the jail and go through the discovery. But if he could come to his office, it'd be much simpler, i.e., he's billing those hours, driving to the jail, waiting the 15, 20, 30 minutes to get in, waiting once you get in for the client to be brought down, to sit in an uncomfortable room. Yeah, it sucks. It's called being a criminal defense attorney. It's the nature of the business. Sounds like you need to spend a lot of long days, long nights at the jail, and weekends going through the discovery there, Mr. Means. Resources are going to be exhausted here shortly, And he's simply and quickly going to realize it's more important to get paid than to be famous. This is not the case he's going to get famous on for a big win. All right. More to come on Lori Vallow for sure in the future. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day is Nicole Riscotti. Now, she, along with Tathan, T-A-T-H-A-N, Fields, who is in the Santa Rosa County Jail, where he's ultimately serving a 15-year sentence for burglary and grand theft. He's also been charged while he's been in custody for pleasuring himself during a prison class taught by a female instructor. Mr. Fields apparently is a very persuasive individual because he got Ms. Riscotti to do a jail visit via Zoom, basically, from home. A child was in the background, but she was in a pink robe, apparently, and had exposed herself, whereupon she and Mr. Fields engaged in the process of pleasuring themselves, and Ms. Riscotti may have had a couple of toys to enhance the pleasuring. Needless to say, the deputies saw this, cut the call off, and ultimately Ms. Riscotti was charged with engaging in lewd and lascivious conduct in the presence of a minor child. She was able to post a $2,000 bond and has a court appearance later in May. Mr. Fields has not been charged yet, even though apparently his little picture would have been visible to the minor as well. They're probably still investigating that. So, Ms. Riscotti and Mr. Fields, you are dumb criminal contestants of the day, and you get to now compete with the other dumb criminal contestants for the week. Now, we have our first contestant was Mr. Daryl Allen, who is an owner of a Fats Pizza and decided to go rob one in the next city over. Not a smart move. Then my personal favorite, Mr. David Pangallo, who, while depositing funds at the bank, also sent through the teller window cocaine that apparently thought should be deposited as well. He was charged with that crime, and obviously now also a contestant for the dumb criminal of the week. We also have Christina Zykas, who attacked her mate with a candy cane. And finally, another favorite of mine, Mr. Michael Gables, who is the elderly gentleman who called the police because he needed them to run to the liquor store, as well as get them some ice cream from the freezer because he frankly just couldn't get up. Those are our contestants for the week. Let us know who you think should be the winner. We'll announce that next week. Also, let us know if you think the judge made the correct decision by denying Lori Vallow's bond. Thanks for watching. Have a great weekend. And we'll have a bonus interview for you tomorrow. Look for that.